Welcome. We have a few announcements. Pentecost offering. Pentecost Sunday is the birthday of the church, the time when we celebrate God's gift of the Holy Spirit. This year, we are offering two ways to make special Pentecost offering. First, financial gifts are always needed. This year, all the money we receive will be used for supplies for Head Start, our own young people. Second, we are receiving a Pentecost paper offering. Our church goes through a lot of paperish supply. You can help through your gifts. We will bless all the gifts received as Pentecost Sunday, June 5th. See the newsletter for the list of items needed. Handbells meet Wednesday from 4:30 to 5:30 in the music room. Book study. Like a Garden, a Biblical Spiritually of Growth book study, looking at life through the metaphor of the garden. Available in person starting Tuesday Zoom, starting May 17th from 7 to 8 p.m. and Wednesday, May 18th, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Book available in the office. Cribbage returns, May 20th at 7 p.m. People wanting to learn as well as experienced players welcome. Today we welcome Reverend Paul Zoschke. Reverend Zoschke has been a parish pastor since 1966. He has served churches in Racine, Wisconsin, Rochester, Minnesota, chaplain at Mayo Clinic, and corrections chaplain at Kettle Marine. Okay, call to worship. Please stand if you're able. Praise the Lord, all the earth. Praise the name of the Lord, and the Lord's glory shall be praised. Come, let us praise the Lord. Come, let us worship God.
Crown him with many crowns, thy lamb upon his throne. Hark, how the Redeemer, hail, for thou hast
Call to confession. Yet we are loved, we are called to turn to God in humility. We fall short of who God calls us to be, but we are never forsaken. In faith and with confidence, as beloved children, let us confess our sins to God. Holy God, command us to love one another, yet we hold grudges and refuse to work for peace. Your command to us to care for our creation, yet we neglect the earth and abuse the nature through carelessness. You command us to walk in the ways of Jesus, yet we do often walk our own way. Forgive us, O God. Guide us as we work toward a new heaven here on earth. Lead us to a vision for your beloved community as we share your love with your people everywhere.
Believe the good news. Jesus loves us, forgives us, and sets us free. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Amen. As free and forgiven children of God, let's share his peace with one another. For God has set us free. Amen. Let's welcome one another, share the peace.
Glory be to the Father.
The reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 26. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, as we testify of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But even in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Then as coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power, for the must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy is be destroyed in death.
Easter is more than one Sunday in late March or in the early weeks of April. Easter in the church, it's last 6 weeks at least from the time of the resurrection to the time of the ascension. On Easter morning, Jesus appeared to Mary at the tomb. Later in that day, There were two men walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared and walked with them. At first, they didn't understand, but when they arrived and broke bread, they knew it was the Lord. And later that night, as 10 disciples gathered in the room, Jesus appeared. And that's where we pick up our scripture lesson this morning, several weeks later. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." That's you and me. Blessed are those who have not seen Jesus, but yet we have come to believe and trust and put our faith in him. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. And thanks be to God who has given us his word. Amen. Jennifer is going to lead us now in children's time.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Thanks. Evie brought Jesus for us today. And remember, we bring Jesus up in front with us so we can remember that God is with us always, wherever we are, in this place, but all over the place. And so it kind of helps us to remember when we can kind of see him. So we just read about Jesus, and he came and he said, "Peace be with you." And you know what? He said that several times, not just this part that we read today, but he says that several times. So it must have been pretty important for us to listen to, right? Because has your mom told you something once and then tells you again? Well, the third time she tells you, you know you better listen, right? This is important stuff. So what do you think it means to have peace? What does peace feel like? Peace is kind of help. When you have peace, it kind of helps you feel calm, kind of happy inside. So how do you give someone peace? What do you do to give someone peace? You can share. You can listen when your friend is talking. You can make sure that someone gets a turn, right? You can maybe wait for your turn and not get crabby about it. That's kind of hard to do. You can use your words when you're kind of upset or angry. And you can accept that sometimes things don't go the way you want them to, and it'll be okay. Well, we get pretty busy doing all sorts of stuff, and the disciples were kind of having some busy times then too, and they were a little worried and a little upset. And when we get a little busy and a little worried or a little upset, we can take a few deep breaths. And if you close your eyes and take a few deep breaths, I like to think about breathing in the Holy Spirit and breathing out the things that are making me upset or worried or scared. So let's try that one time. Breathe in and breathe out. When Jesus spoke to those disciples, he said, "Peace be with you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me too." He wanted peace to be with all of us. And so we need to share that peace with all of the people around us. That's our job too. And God wants a world that is full of peace, full of people who are sharing God's love with other people, people who feel that love inside them. Well, I hope that that's something that you can do this week. If there's a time when you're feeling that kind of, maybe those crabby feelings inside, or you're worried or afraid, take a moment, take a deep breath, breathe in the Holy Spirit, and breathe out those worries or those troubles. Let's take a little time and let's pray to God right now. Loving God, please help us to share your peace with everyone, letting them know that your love flows through us and to others. Help us to feel that love and safeness and peace in our hearts so that we can share that peace with others and make the world a better place. Amen.
Peace be with you. Those words changed my whole outlook on life. I had been a skeptic. I had been a doubter. But those words made me a believer in the resurrection of Christ. Peace be with you. Those words restored me to the fellowship of disciples, of those who had followed Jesus for several years and who had come to love him and believe in him. Those words, later on in my life, sent me to India, where I became the first disciple, follower of Christ in that vast country. They call me Doubting Thomas. That, of course, isn't my real name. The doubting part of my name has a long story behind it. And the word Thomas actually means twin. My real name is Judas, but they called me Thomas so that I wouldn't be confused with the other disciple who had that same name. And actually, I am a twin. I've always felt like a twin. And for as long as I can remember, people have compared me to my brother. He was a bit taller than I, somewhat stronger than I. He was cheerful, as happy as a bird in the springtime. But I've never found it easy to be happy and to rejoice.
everything seemed to go so well and easy with my brother. But with me, it's been a lifelong struggle. A series of many disappointments. I never succeeded in much of anything. I wasn't ever the center of attention. More importantly, my brother was a religious man, in the good sense. Not me, though. From my early years, I found it very difficult to believe in religion, especially the way it was taught in our local synagogue. I was a skeptic. It was hard to believe in God. But there was one thing I did well. I was a good carpenter, and I made a fair living in my little carpenter shop. I enjoyed working with a piece of wood. In those days, I spent a lot of time thinking about God. Well, not really thinking about God, but thinking about all the objections I had. Oh, it was quite a life. The local synagogue really turned me off. Now, don't get me wrong. I wasn't a bad person. I was always honest with my customers, and I was always honest with the tax authorities. And when the local rabbi would come by and talk with me, I would express to him my doubts and my skepticism. Some people in the little town of Capernaum called me an atheist, but I really wasn't. I just had a hard time swallowing the religion that was practiced and preached and followed in our little village. That's why it was so hard to believe that Jesus wanted me to follow him. I can still remember the day when I first met Jesus. He was speaking to a big crowd down by the lakeshore. And I went. And I'm not sure why I went. I think it was out of curiosity. One carpenter wanting to hear what another carpenter had to say about religion and God. What really impressed me was his voice. It was strong, mellow, and caring. Also, it was those eyes, those piercing but loving eyes. I couldn't always see those eyes, and I always couldn't see him. Some big fishermen often stood in the way and blocked my vision. But I tried to see him as best I could. And when the day was coming to a close, I felt a need to ask a few questions. And when I asked those questions, he looked at me and he answered them. And I kind of felt like a fool for voicing those doubts. I could tell that he really wanted me to know the truth. Well, when the meeting was over, I began to walk back down the road to my shop. And as I was walking, there was a hand that touched my shoulder. I turned, and I saw those eyes again. And he asked, "Are you the man they call the twin?" I said, "I was." And he said, "I'd like you to follow me." As he walked back down to the lake shore, I found myself following him. "What am I doing?" I said to myself. "What am I doing? Why am I following him? What good would a skeptic be to those disciples who followed him? Maybe my brother. Maybe Jesus mixed me up with my brother. Maybe he was the one Jesus wanted. Probably not me." Well, that's how it all started. It turned out that I was the one Jesus wanted, and not my brother. Soon I left my shop and traveled with him. There were 12 of us. We were all so different. Some were fishermen. Some were small businessmen like me. One was even a tax collector. But he wanted all of us to be with him and to follow him. It's hard to explain the effect he had on our lives. He made God seem real. And for me, that was quite something. Believe me, I'm not easily impressed. I'm not easily convinced. But I continued to follow him. And I noticed how he treated people. And I noticed what he did for people. And what impressed me was he never pushed himself on anyone. And he was always interesting to listen to. I never got tired of hearing his sermons or trying to understand his parables. Although there were many times I really didn't understand, but I grew to love him. Love him like a brother. And he became the best friend I ever had. It wasn't long before Jesus became a controversial figure. Everywhere people went, they were calling out to him. But you could not believe how bitter some of the religious leaders became. It disappointed me the way the religious leaders would try to trick him by answering their difficult questions. He didn't fit in with their system and wouldn't go along with their petty religious rules. But when they tried to argue with him face to face, when they asked those tricky questions, they would be cornered and not him. And they would stammer and finally go away angry. Well, as time went on, he was more and more popular with the people, and the authorities became more and more hostile. I began to feel uneasy about it, and I could see that there was real, real trouble ahead. His enemies, they wanted revenge. I have to admit, it was tempting to drop out and go back to my wood shop and do something that was very safe and comfortable. But I didn't. One day in Judea, the authorities so riled up the crowd that they tried to stone us. But we got away just in time. I knew that there would be real trouble if we ever went back to Judea or to Jerusalem again. But a few days later, word came to Jesus that his good friend Lazarus was sick. He lived in a suburb of Jerusalem. And Jesus said, "We're going to go back to Judea." And we reminded him of what had just happened, of how the crowd had picked up stones. But that didn't seem to bother him. He was determined to go. We were all upset. I finally said to the disciples, to Jesus, "Well, let's all go with him that we may die with him." Well, after that, things began to happen very quickly. I'll never forget the day he called Lazarus out of the tomb. I always remember the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem sitting on a colt, and the crowds went wild. They tore branches off the palm trees and threw them on the road, put their coats on the road, and they shouted out, "Hail, the king is coming." And this made the Jerusalem authorities all the more determined to kill him. During the next days, Jesus began to talk a lot about his going away. I remember when we were together in the upper room and he said, "You know where I am going and you know the way." And I confess, I didn't know where he was going. I didn't know what the way was about. And so I said to him, "Lord, how do we know where you're going? How do we know the way?" And Jesus looked at me and said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." I still felt confused. When we left the upper room a few days later, and we headed for the garden where we often went for prayer, we weren't there very long when we saw torches coming up the hill. We saw soldiers, and they were being led by the disciple named Judas. Jesus was quickly arrested, and the rest of that night was one long nightmare. They called it a trial. They called it justice. But it was a frame up from the very start. He never had a chance. I didn't see the trial. For I had slipped away in the darkness of the night with the other disciples. But they had a trial. I hear the people cried for his crucifixion. The soldiers mocked him. And finally, Pilate gave in to their demands. And the next day they crucified him. I watched it from a far distant hill. I couldn't believe what was happening. I thought maybe God would step in and save him. But when they plunged the spear into his side, I knew it was all over. I can't believe, but I'm going to tell you how I felt after it was over. I didn't want to see anybody. When the bottom drops out of my life, I kind of climb into my own shell. I avoid people. I get depressed. And I was ashamed of myself that I hadn't done a thing to stop it. And what about God? Where was he when all these terrible things were happening? When all these things were taking place? And some of my own old doubts began to return again. My skepticism reared its ugly head yet again. Well, on the first day of that new week, while rumors began to circulate that the tomb was empty, the other disciples were planning to get together that night, but I didn't want to be with them. I was so hurt and disappointed that I just walked and walked and thought to myself, I wasn't going to join that band of disciples again. I hardly cared about anything. What's the use of getting together? But the next day, Peter and John, they sought me out. And they told me that they had seen the Lord. I didn't believe them. And I said, unless I put my fingers where the nails were, unless I put my hand where they plunged the spear, hey, I won't believe. I was so hurt by his dying that I didn't dare get my hopes up again. But Peter and John wouldn't stop talking. They wouldn't stop encouraging me to join them again. And they continued to talk about that they had seen the Lord. I was kind of irritated with their faith, really miserable inside, but still stubborn, still hopeless. But I decided to stay with the 10 disciples. I really didn't have any other place to go or other friends to be with. Well, that night, some days, weeks later, after Jesus had died, the 11 of us gathered again in a room, and suddenly, without any notice, without any door opening, he was there with us in the room. And we heard that familiar greeting, peace be with you. It was Jesus. Before I knew it, he was looking straight at me. And he walked over to me and said, "Thomas, put your fingers in the nail prints. Put your hand in my side. Thomas, stop doubting and believe." And all my angry thoughts and words suddenly disappeared. And joy just came over my life. And I just called out, "My Lord and my God." The reason I'm telling you this long story is this. Maybe some of you at some times feel like I felt. You have some doubts. You have some skepticism. And you really didn't feel a lot of Easter joy on this past Sunday. Oh, the crowds were nice to see. And the flowers, they were wonderful. But I really didn't have a lot of joy. Well, I want you to know this, that Jesus doesn't reject anyone who has doubts, who is a skeptic. If you stay with Jesus' people, as I did, one of these days, you're going to meet Christ, and he will make himself known to you. And the doubt, the skepticism, they will just evaporate. And then he'll be saying again, "Do not be faithless, but believe." I know this can happen because it happened to me. It was an unforgettable day. And I just blurted out, "My Lord and my God." The living Christ made a believer out of me. He can do that for anyone. Take it from me, the one they used to call Doubting Thomas. And finally, I say, peace be with you. Amen.
Come, Christians, join to sing, Alleluia. may be seated.
One announcement. Pete Radlin had a fall and is now back in the hospital again. We need to remember him and so many others in our prayer. Let us come to God. Almighty God, you have created us. You have breathed into us the breath of life. And you have called us to follow your Son, Jesus. And we ask, O God, that each day that our faith will be strengthened, that our testimony will be strong, and that our witness in this community will be a witness that impacts the lives of many. We lift up in our prayers for healing, for continuing to hold in the palm of your hand Gary and Pete and Bonnie and Pat and Gibb and Arnold. And we pray for Ruth and Jesse and Silas and Jane, Jerry and Mary, Chastity and Joan. My Father, as we sit here in comfort this morning, we think of so many in this country whose lives have been impacted by climate change. And we think of those who are facing drought and fire. We think of those who live in places where storms have gone through, where tornadoes have injured and killed many. We think of those in our own state whose flooding this past week disrupted their whole life. And in our prayers, we think of those in Ukraine who face some very difficult challenges. We pray that the nations will continue to stand strong and support these, our fellow Christians. And for all those, O Lord, who need your comfort, we give you them in our time of prayer. Those, O Lord, who are suffering from illness, those who are depressed, and those who need comfort because of the loss of family members, of friends. And we lift this all up in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Roger's going to come up and give us a moment of mission, a challenge.
I'm going to skip over the introduction briefly and start immediately with a video. My name is Roger Rittrink, and I'm up here representing the serving team. And starting last month, we've diverted money from Kiva. And it's not that we've abandoned the goals of Kiva, but supporting organizations we think do a better job, particularly low administrative costs and with One Acre Fund and Village Enterprise and now Serve, not just money dispensed, but taking people in developing nations and giving them the training so that they have the skills that they can make a sustainable living. With regard to Serve, just quickly, again, all these with regard to training, Serve, it's a sort of a three-step process. First of all, they take people and they give them the skills so that they can make products which then can be sold. Step two, it's not, well, now you're on your own. With Serve, they have a guaranteed market because Serve takes these products and brings them to the United States. And then third, most importantly, there are quite a few organizations buying goods made in developing nations, but for the most part, they're brought over and it's these middlemen that take the lion's share of the profits. With Serve, that's not true at all. They guarantee that the people will have the income to make a living. And any profits, I mean, there are obviously administrative costs in bringing products over and shipping them to stores, but any profits that are made go to the individuals that are making the goods as opposed to the middlemen. And so it's that reason that we chose Serve. And end by mentioning, this is an organization that this church has had ties with for quite a while. I think many of you know that the Fair Trade Shop started here within this church. Eventually, it was moved to the present location, Pebbles, just outside of Fond du Lac. And the majority of the products sold at the Just Fair Shop are provided by Serve. With regard to all these organizations, I've been asked, well, is there some other way? I really was interested in One Acre Fund or Village Enterprise. Is there some other way I can support them? We will be distributing more money from Kiva to these organizations. If you want to leave a check with Mary Robaca, you can do that. With Serve, it's a little different. Chocolate, tea, coffee, scarves, jewelry, gifts for birthdays, weddings. Go support the Just Fair Shop, and you can help this organization. So I will end by mentioning this is a good time to be talking about Serve because this is Fair Trade Month. We're right in the middle of it, May 15th. And after worship, during coffee hour, at Faith Formation, or what used to be known as the Education Hour, several of us will be in the parlor, and we can answer any questions you have about fair trade, about the Just Fair store, or just have a good time. So with that, it's time for the offertory. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, you have given us the task to love one another. May the gifts we offer bring love and life to others. May the love we share bring hope to a world that has forgotten how to love. Amen. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are to be a light to all people. Peace be with you." Amen.